Welcome to Local Drag. It's a podcast about local drag queens and their thoughts and opinions on RuPaul's Drag Race and the world of drag. My name is Laveau Contraire, and I'm the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, here to put you all under my spell. Tune in each week as I interview one of my favorite squirrel friends and recap the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race and give our unfiltered opinion on the queens of season 13 and Drag Race UK. Yes.
Okay.
All right. So this is a podcast called Local Drag, where I talk to local drag queens like yourself about the world of drag and also their thoughts and opinions on RuPaul's Drag Race, both the US and the UK. So today I am with the lovely, the talented Cornbread Jeté. How are you, Cornbread?
I am well. I am up. I am awake, to say the least.
I heard you had a little bit of a rough night.
With these damn dogs, honey. Yes. My dog got into some gum out of a place where it shouldn't have been able to reach, jumping on stuff. But she's better now. Wait to go pick her up. All is well. But me and her are going to fight when she get back. Like,
well,
we got to go to the streets.
I'm glad that she is okay. But oh my God, not the dog fight. So tell me a little bit about your drag. You are someone who I've seen online. You are infamous for the funny and campy things that you do. And I just want to know how you got started, basically.
All right. Well, for one, you're going to have to tell me to be quiet because my mouth to ramble on. So just let me know when we need to move on from something.
I love it.
I started drag 2.5 years ago. I was working at a job, which I liked in the beginning and I didn't end up liking. I don't want to name drop them, Central Theater Group. But they were very sweet people in the beginning. But it was a phone job. So I was talking to different patrons, blah, 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 X, Y, and Z. And I have a smart mouth. But my smart mouth is not me being rude. My smart mouth is just me being witty. So the girls couldn't take it over the phone. So I'm just like, this isn't the job for me. So after about a year, maybe 2 years of that job, we were sitting at a computer desk. There was a lot of us there. We always watch Drag Race. We watch Drag Race the night before. We'll come in and talk about it because when you're not on a phone call, you have a lot of time. Some days when the theater wasn't in season, we'd literally do 2 phone calls in an 8-hour day.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, it was beautiful. So we'd be on our computers shooting the shit. Sorry if I'm cursing, we're not supposed to.
Okay.
And then, so we were sitting there, we were kikiing, and they were like, oh my God, you'd be such a funny drag queen. I'm like, girl, I would never do drag. You got, no ma'am. So fast forward, my drag sister, I'm a part of the House of Jeté, my drag sister Calypso was like, there's a competition for new queens. You do it, you win all this stuff. You're supposed to win all this stuff, but it ended up actually just being a charity for the people to put money in their pocket. But that's another story. So you go do this competition, and I did this competition. I was phenomenal. Talent was there, but you had to raise a certain amount of money in order to win. And I lost for like $26. So I was like, yeah. And that was going to be my one time and my one time only. And then when I lost, I said, oh, girl, I cannot go out on the losing streak. So I went to work, turned in my 2 weeks' notice. And I was like, hey, girl, I'm about to quit. She was like, what do you mean? I was like, girl, I'm going to try drag. She said, try drag. And I was like, yeah, I got to go. And this was on a whim. I turned in my 2 weeks' notice and just quit completely and just went full force with drag. And I've literally worked every week since that one competition and me quit my job.
Oh, my God. That is a true drag success story because so many queens do not have that.
I tell people all the time, I literally am lucky. Like, don't get me wrong, I put in hard work. And I still consider myself a baby queen. I've literally only been doing this for 2.5 years. And a lot of people hate the term baby queen. I'm not opposed to the term. In the industry right now, I'm a toddler. I'm a baby. And I'm okay with being called that no matter what my regular age is. Right. I'm new to the art form, and I respect that. But I hit the ground running. Like, I'm one of those people, you know, you're not about to tell me no kind of girls. So here we are.
Oh my God. I have so much to say about that. Cause yes, I first of all, you could have fooled me. I didn't know you were only doing drag for 2.5 years, but I think that speaks to your like hunger, because that's the thing about the new girls, as we call them or whatever. Like, we have a hunger and a drive for what we're doing. And I think that intimidates the older girls sometimes.
Oh, but, yeah.
But I love that you also like respect the art of drag and know that you're new in it enough to say that, yes, you are a baby queen. Cause like, if you say you don't like the term baby queen, but you know your ass is a baby queen, you better sit down somewhere. Okay, you're having a toddler tantrum.
Very much that. You're terrible too. And that's what I keep telling the girls all the time. Because a lot of them don't understand, a lot of them don't understand where my wit and like where my success comes from when it comes to drag. I've done theater all my life. And I know how to work a room. But when it comes to drag, I think a lot of newer queens forget the respect. Don't get me wrong. I don't care how old you are and what level of drag you're on and how long you've been doing it. You're going to respect me first. Now, I let the girls know that all the time. Since we're adults, we are, yes. we are grown-ass people before drag. So respect me on that level. Don't disrespect me. Now, say what you need to about the drag world, but don't pop off at the mouth in the wrong way, because the baby queen will go out the door. You about to get a thug, honey. You about to get a country fish. So,
yes.
I respect all forms of drag. And I'm like, if I walk, I said this to someone before. If I walk into a room, like I'm working at Hamburger Mary's out here. All the people have been there years, years and years. I'm new. Hamburger Mary's is like a tight family. They love each other. They all going to hire each other. And so I walk into this room. I'm not walking in here as a person who's, pretend it's a house. I'm not walking in this house as a person who has a room here. I am a guest in your home. So, bitch, y'all young, take your shoes off at the door. Like, it's respect the space that you're walking into. I am walking into these people's home. I am a guest into their home. So treat it like that. And a lot of people walk in like the world owes them something. The world don't owe you nothing, especially in the drag world.
It's just,
I have a lot of respect for the people who came before me, who paved the way, per se. I respect you in that manner. We ain't gotta like each other, but I respect you.
Absolutely. And I feel the same way. Like, I have always wanted to be a star. Ever since I was a child, I was like, oh, she's going to be a star. She's going to be on stages. She's going to be doing her thing. However, I know that I am new to this. I've been doing drag for about 5, going on 6 years. And like, I still have to respect the people who paved the way, like the Tamisha Imans, like down here, the Vanessa Carr Kennedys and the Tara Lynn Foxes, the legends.
The legends, yeah.
Okay, like, you've been doing this, you know, you have something to learn from me and I have something to learn from you, because right. The old and the new together, that's where the magic happens, right? So yeah. I definitely feel you, but like on the being a guest, that's how you show respect, but also like, that's the reason that you've been working, because
it is have it, that. Oh, go ahead, you good.
I was just saying, you have that theater background. I think the best queens have that theater background. You have the humility, but you also are witty. Like, you have what it takes.
You gotta, and that's the girl, and this is what gets me too, because it's like, I saw some LA local girls who do it too, who call me their sister, but like, girl, I know the tea. they're very much, because I don't bite my tongue. Now, one thing I will not do, baby, only thing I bite is like food. That's it. That's all you get bit. Tongues don't get bit around here, because the tongue is the success to my taste. Like, no, I don't. Absolutely. I don't bite no tongue. But I was going to drag shows, the places that I wanted to work at, for an entire year out of drag, and I wasn't even a drag queen at the time. I was at the world famous Abby's brunch every single Saturday for a year. I was at the show on Monday every single Monday for a year. I was going to Mickey's every Monday, sneaking back and forth between there and the Abbey to go watch the show Flaming Saddles. All these shows, the place that I work at now. And everybody was like, oh my God, Cornbread came out of nowhere. No, sis, Cornbread snuck up on y'all because while y'all was on stage performing, I was sitting here talking to these producers of these shows and coming filming with the people in the club. And the girls are gagged because, like, I think the Abbey is one of the hardest places to get in. Into and they're nice. They give opportunity. They give huge opportunities. But they have a tight knit family, just like Mary's. I was performing at the Abbey 3 months into drag, and then I was hosting the Abbey brunch 7 months in. Like, and everybody was shocked. I have residencies at every main club in Los Angeles, from West Hollywood to downtown. Within a year of drag, I've toured, I've done things within it, and it's like, it's hard work. Definitely puts it, because, and I have been, once again, I've only been doing this for 2.5 years, but my mind is very much, if I want to be doing what people who've been doing this from 5 to 10 years been doing, I need to do 5 to 10 times the work in a day. Than that, you, to catch up. That's me. I'm going to catch up to what you're doing. So you can say a lot of things about me, but since we're working in the same place.
Absolutely. Yes.
Check. So.
Yes. And I think that's like, to bring it to a Drag Race place, that's like why Olivia Lux is just absolutely murdering the competition. She's new as well. Like, she's very new. And I'm just like, this don't look like no new queen. You could have fooled me.
Yeah, because she looks very well. She's performing. She also has a performance background, too.
Yep, exactly, exactly. And I think that definitely makes a difference.
Her forehead stresses me out, but she's doing very well.
Why her forehead stress you out?
Because it's specific wig, and I love her to death. But it's specific wig she wears, and it stresses me out. Because I'm just not used to it. And like, she's beautiful. We always talk about, she reminds me of a younger version of Mariah Paris Balenciaga. When you look at her next time, look at her face. Olivia is gorgeous. Like, she's so beautiful. But when she wears those mohawks and then they do like this and cry. Behind me. I'd be she's beautiful.
Hilarious. She is beautiful.
I like a good Olivia. She's tea. But yeah, you work hard, you get what you're gonna get.
Absolutely.
And just respect those who are around.
Absolutely.
You.
And I think a lot of people, you know, they lose that hunger, that sort of drive, or that, you know, they think, I've gotten to a certain place, I'm just gonna be well respected and well known and just be done. Nope, you gotta keep working at it. It's not over. Because there's always somebody that's gonna pop up and try to take that spot.
Don't rest. And that goes to the older people too. So don't rest. Mm-hmm. Because some of these young queens are coming out here and they're hungry as hell. The only issue with these young queens, they don't understand this respect. And it's just like, if the younger generation of drag queens like myself and those who came after me, quote unquote, if they knew how to respect and how to show up to things, life would be so much different.
Absolutely.
Life would be so much different.
Yep. Because then, and you know, from both sides, I see where they're coming from, but I also see where they're wrong. And I always say, I'm on the side of right, you know?
Side of right. Yeah, because some of these older queens be trying it too, child.
Okay.
Like, you know, about to talk to me sideways, since I had to gather a few of them. I've had to gather minty of Drag Race titled, like, girls, not Ooh. Drag Race titled girls, local legends. Sis, do you, boo, collect your check.
Oh my gosh.
Let's step outside of these lashes and lipstick real quick. Because I've told them multiple times, pull back. So what you're doing right now is on the level of disrespect. You're not talking to me as a coworker. You're talking to me like you're my mom, and I came out of one person. Pull that back, like reverse that, and like, and talk to me with some respect, and we good. So, girl, okay. No.
Look, we're gonna have to have a story time at the end of the episode to talk about some of your experiences.
Oh, please, absolutely. We're gonna do it on air though, because they might try to hire me.
Okay. But let's go ahead and talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. Who is your favorite drag queen on the race of all time?
That is a very hard question.
Right.
I have. Let me say this. Anybody black?
Period.
But the person that made me fall in love with drag, no tea, no bomb threat, was Tyra Sanchez.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, Tyra Sanchez, like, and I've met Tyra a few times. Well, she don't go by Tyra no more, but
it's King James.
Our artist formerly known as Tyra. Tyra's season was sick. Like, Tyra was so good. And no shade before her time. Tyra could have competed in a few seasons past hers and still would have did just as well. Mm-hmm. I enjoy her quite much. I like Silky because she's crazy. We can go on a whole list. Silky, she's insane. My Lord, Chi Chi Devane, honey.
Yes. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. And all I wanted out of life was a Chi Chi Devane and Kennedy Davenport lip sync. Bae, B, that's all I wanted on that show.
Right? I mean, they do have videos that you can find of them. Yeah.
I just wanted them in front of them judges. Honey, if you want to maneuver, show how you want it to be, that's what y'all should have did.
Okay, that would have been explosive. And then make it something dancey, okay? Let them cut up.
They should have did 100%.
Or like Disco Inferno or something. Like, you know, that would have been life-changing. But
don't change to the girls who did 100% Pure Love, but they should have went to somebody else.
Yeah, like, I mean, Denali did her thing.
You did something.
Speaking of lip syncs, what was your favorite lip sync of all time, other than the Kennedy Chi Chi one that never happened?
Right, because mad. I have three, and I'll talk all day, but I have three. One, Ben Delacram versus Kennedy Davenport, All Stars, when they did Lorde's song. I do my makeup in somebody else's car.
Oh, yes.
Baby, the way Kennedy maneuvered that number. Oh, my God.
Because you don't expect Kennedy to, like, do that, you know? Like, the way she did it.
That took me to a place I did not know I wanted to go. So that one, Chi Chi Devane, color me your color, darling, color me you are, with Nasha Lopez. Because she disrespected that girl and ate her. And then lastly, when I always look at Roar.
I was just thinking Roar, because of Kennedy. Like, when she turned to the side and opened up her mouth looking like a damn dinosaur, like she said, you're gonna hear me roar.
And then looked in the front like this. And it made a face, and I was like, "Yeah, girl, this is it." So those are my favorite lip sync. Anything with Kennedy and Chi Chi in it, oh my God, girl, we can get into Trinity K. Bonet, honey.
The lip sync assassin of all seasons. Every time I think about that What a Man lip sync all the time. Just the way she did it, so smooth.
It just what I'm saying. It's these. I'm getting mad. Every lip sync assassin on All Stars could have been. Baby, let me tell you something. And this, I don't give a damn who get mad at this. The black queens on RuPaul's Drag Race,
criminally underrated.
Lip syncing down, like the up. Don't I ain't even get started, baby?
Because this is what we do. Like, you don't see too many like makeup queen or like Instagram queens, you know, like the influencer, all that, like us, the black queens. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I'll speak from my experience. We in the clubs, we are performing, we are on stage, we are turning, we are doing pageants, like that sort of thing.
And the gag is we're doing all these things because they won't allow us to be successful on the internet, but that's a different situation.
And that has been factually proven by the RuPaul's Drag Race fandom. So.
The fandom is some of them good, but honey, it makes no sense to me to a person like Kennedy Davenport isn't at a million followers when you got somebody who went to home third and fourth are at a million followers, or how Raja O'Hara is literally barely breaking 90,000 when these girls are getting 100K on one episode, when Raja O'Hara is one of the most talented queens I've ever seen, ever met in my life. Like, here you see Davenport, sticking the boots. Kennedy Davenport should have been well past a million followers, and honestly, with her track record, should have won All-Star since
Bella Kendrick,
and then, what's the name? lost. They played in the Chandelier Fete. But
also Asia O'Hara.
Oh my God, Asia O'Hara.
I love beautiful.
And can lip sync her ass off. Can lip sync her ass off.
But that's the thing, though. Like, I don't understand why they don't get the love. I think that the fandom is growing because of the way that they're receiving Tamisha Iman, hopefully.
Yeah.
But then that all got thrown out of the window with the way that they're treating Candy. Like, it's ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know what to say about this.
That's a whole other thing. Side note about Asia, you know, I told myself if I ever applied for Drag Race and got on Drag Race, I was going to do one of those butterflies as a snatch game.
The butterfly?
I was going to sit there. I was going to be sweating and everything. Bitch, it was hot as hell up in there. Absolutely. Be that whole butterfly. You know how stupid that'd be?
That's so funny. That would be so funny.
It's like cult class, and they're not going to let it happen. Because
of course they wouldn't let it happen. Oh, and they don't let you do fictional characters either. Because I was thinking with your whole food stick and because of the recent like events that if you did like Aunt Jemima and you was like on the bottle of pancakes
the gag is if I was going to audition, I was going to have my snatch game go from Aunt Jemima to Uncle Ben on the rice. Like I was going to switch it up, but yes! they don't let you do stuff like that because of marketing.
Right, exactly. No copyrighted characters. But enough about U.S. Drag Race. Let's hop on over the pond and get into some Drag Race UK.
Let's do it.
So it is episode 4, and it doesn't feel like it because, I don't know, doing U.S. and doing U.K., like, it feels like we're on episode 387 of both of them.
Because that's how many America got.
Okay, they're on episode 6, and I've only had 3 girls go home. It's beyond ridiculous. But anyway, so we get back into the workroom, and Estina has just been eliminated by Baroness Basic, Tia Coffee. How did you feel about that elimination?
I wanted more from Estina. I wanted to see Estina more. Because... Mm-hmm. I was gagged. I was thoroughly gagged. I wanted to see a lot more from Estina. I thought Estina was beautiful. I thought she did good in the lip sync. They could have double saved it. I hope they bring her back or something in the future. But I liked her.
I love her. I think that like she could sit in the oven a little longer and bake a little bit more. Like I think there's more. Like I think if she comes back on All Stars, it's gonna be a force. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
she stressed me out in the beginning, though. I know, because her promo made me mad, but she did she did way better than what I thought,
right? But everything was very simple, like even her Naomi Campbell look was just like very simple, and I was like, okay, I guess. Yeah. But anyway, Jenny has a really interesting moment here where Lawrence is saying something and she like pops off. She's like, Lawrence, can you let somebody else speak?
This gagged me, because I'm not used to that from Jenny Lim. I've never gotten that energy from her. So then you can tell, like, something was wrong with her. And I think Jenny's getting upset because she's not winning. And that pisses people off. And I think now you're jealous of Lawrence. You're jealous of what Lawrence is giving. And see, I remember talking in the chat when we were doing the episode review. And the people were like, oh, I think she's just jealous because everybody's like, Lawrence is winning and Lawrence is like good. And I was like, that makes sense.
Well, they're way back from like episode 2, I believe, like they had a little back and forth where they, you know, made fun of each other's material and this, that, and the other. So I could see that because they're kind of both in that lane of being the funny, witty, campy girl.
Yeah.
But Lawrence definitely pulls it off better.
But no, I'm about to say no shade. Just look at them standing beside each other. Girl, bye.
Yeah. Lawrence in her like beautiful white gold gown and then Jenny in her yellow wig and that pink dress.
Thank you. Like, girl, bye. And the same tube shaped dress and wig you've been wearing. You literally got the same wig in every color, and then you tease it out and brush it and spray it and think you're up here doing something original. And don't blame that on your situation, because that your taste level ain't got nothing to do with your medical.
Okay, period. So Ahura says that she is thankful that Estina's gone because it gets her one step closer to the crown. And I'm just like,
Do you have to be a bitch all the time?
Girl, and it ain't getting you no step closer to the crown.
Okay, I don't know. We'll see.
You inching, yo. Yeah, let me shut up.
I mean, you never know. I don't know. She did really well this week, but we'll get to that.
She should have too. No. Yeah, we'll get to it.
Beautiful gowns. Beautiful.
Great gowns, honey. Beautiful gowns.
Instagram posts.
Yeah, okay. Because it ain't the gowns. It's the Instagram posts.
It ain't the gowns. So it's a new day in the workroom, and Lawrence won the badge.
Yes.
I mean, well-deserved. So,
side note, I hope they're sneaking them people some damn money. I hope they just, like, stand this on air and just sneaking them a little check on the side.
Okay, like, I know it's the BBC and it's publicly funded, and that's why they can't have, like, cash prizes, but, like, damn.
Get them some. Y'all got to be sneaking them. Get them a Chipotle gift card or something.
Okay. Like,
no, they got to be getting something.
I mean, I feel like if this is the case, since they can't give the $5,000 that they do in America, they should at least double it up like they do the mini challenge, where you win like an actual prize and give them an actual prize for that as well. Or wait, do they even do that here?
Do what here?
Do they do the mini challenge prizes? Maybe they don't do that either.
I ain't seen it.
Oh, Lord, never mind.
They don't get nothing but exposure.
Those exposure gigs.
Don't even get me. No, I was about to go off on a tangent, and we're not even doing that.
We've all been there, though. We've all been there. But word to the queens listening, don't do gigs for exposure.
Because they anyway. Trying to, especially, no, shut up. Yeah, don't do.
I can't wait to get all the tea. So Taze comes for Tia because she's friends with Estina, and she's like, well, I'm bored. You're basic. I feel like you could do more, and Estina was the T. So
Taste came for Tia because Tia ain't got no taste.
But Tia says, guess what? I'm still here.
Which is very true. But who said that? Someone said that in the US was like, I'm still here, and then they went home the next week. Basically everybody who was in the bottom. Period. But like she is still there. I don't see her winning though.
I don't know. I think if she, like, we all know that they have to take a little break after this episode because of COVID. Oh, if she comes back with a better package, I could see it going well for her.
Let me tell you something. If you've been on the show halfway through or these few episodes and you got to go home and take a break and you see what everybody is packing this again, girl, which is very unfair, which is 100% unfair. But, like, you got time to collect yourself and get it together.
Absolutely. I'd be calling everybody I know, like, we got to rework these outfits.
I seen what the tea was. Bring me something. Bring me something.
I need something at least as fashionable as Taste, as funny as Lawrence Chaney. I need, come on.
Right. I need something. I need something that's not me.
Okay. Yes, not basic. So Veronica actually comes to Tia's defense, and I think she's coming for that Miss Congeniality edit because she's like, just because she's basic on the outside doesn't mean that she's not a good drag queen. You got to look deeper. And I agree to an extent. Like, fashion ain't for everyone, right? But she is very funny. Like, Tia can perform. And right. That's why she's still here.
But fashion is everybody, but at least look decent.
Period. Yes. You got to look put together.
These girls got to start wearing green. Broccoli doesn't hurt, doll. You're saying U.S. girl wore a damn tree. Like, this is setting these hoes up.
Yeah. I mean, I love the color green. I think it could be done well. Veronica's looked good.
Have you noticed in the U.S. too, everybody in the bottom for the sewing challenges have been wearing the color scheme of pink, purple, blue, and white. Soju's outfit, Vanjie's outfit, and Miss La La Ree's outfit. I'm telling you, these color schemes got a lot to do with it. And then green. got damn green on.
Notice, okay? Notice. Pay attention to these things. Don't wear those colors.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Oh my God. So we get to the mini challenge and they are selling cake, girl. Selling their cakes.
I mean, honey, look, it's a pandemic. Pay your rent how you can.
Okay, so they have all these different pastries, and luckily at the viewing party, we had someone from the UK tuning in to tell us a little bit of tea about the cake.
Oh, because baby, I was stressed. I didn't know what, I was like, girl, what is that?
What is this?
Whoever that was there, I thoroughly liked that person in that group, because honey, they was telling us everything.
Okay, I love having that perspective because, like, we don't know a lot of things about the UK. We are so uncultured here in America.
Absolutely. I do want to try the cakes, though.
Okay, so Tia did a great job. She was, like, you know, playing with RuPaul, which is a good thing to do. Yeah. And then it was solid. Ellie Diamond, Elizabeth Rhinestone.
Elizabeth Rhinestone.
Oh gosh, it was so bad. She just, I don't know what to even make of it. Like, what was she going for?
Well, clearly wasn't nobody buying them damn cakes.
Definitely not. The worst pies in London. Then we get to Bimini. No, wait, what?
No, go ahead. I was about to talk trash. I was over here looking at that thing in the corner. I was about to talk trash, but go ahead.
Bimini has her Brexit bun, which was very smart. Like, she made it current events. She put on a character. I am so impressed with Bimini week after week. I'm just like, wow, I really counted her out at the beginning.
No tea, no shade. I was looking at when she first popped up. I was like, damn, Jenny Lemon lost weight. But then I realized that wasn't Jenny Lemon.
Oh my God, they just both have the yellow hair. Because, you know, yellow is the color of the non-binary.
Yeah, the non-binary.
I didn't know that until last week when they said that.
Yeah, and honey, they yellowed up. But I was like, y'all got the same, they must go to the same bare haircut person too.
Okay.
That haircut was not the ticket.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it works for their aesthetic, their vibe, you know? Yeah, Bimini's very punk rock. Jenny's very lemon.
So, now she's sour. Now she bitter.
Oh, she was very that this episode. But we'll get to it. But yeah. Jenny's little thing was funny. She was very true to her character. Taste goes for sex, which I think is classic for the like pretty girls to go immediately for like the sexy route.
I'm so obsessed with her though. She's, oh my God.
She is sexy. I mean,
yeah, no, she's the line. And then, honey, if you know you're not comedy, girl, go sex and try to make it funny in some kind of way. You got to test your strengths. And if you're not no Kiki girl, figure it out.
I know, but I think she could. I think she could challenge herself to do better because of how well she did in the challenge. I'm just like, you're funny.
Yeah, that's also very true. You're right.
Like, you know, but I think it's just like a coping mechanism to be like, oh, I don't know what to do. Well, let's just sell sex. Sex sells.
Sex sells, honey.
I mean, it does. Ahura makes hers all about Jenny, which is a choice.
a huge choice.
Like, why would you do that? I don't know. And of course, Lawrence is great because Lawrence is pretty good at everything. So,
yeah. Lawrence reminds me of a thumbs up.
What? Are you saying that Lawrence looks like a thumb? Oh my God, it's the hair for me. I don't understand this Don King. Like,
I love Lawrence so much. Well, baby, this hair is interesting as hell.
Like, can you swoop it to the side or something?
You remember, I don't know, if this made me just be going crazy, but there was like a TV show or something where they used to talk with the hands. And like one of them children's shows where they used to like put the little art. I'm gonna Google it and I'm gonna send it to you so you know what I'm talking about. And then it all makes sense.
My mind, my God.
Right now, but it's gonna make sense.
I think I know what you're talking about because I'm visualizing it, but I can't think of what it's called either. But
I'm gonna figure it out.
The winner of the challenge is Bimini Bamboulash, which I thought was deserved. And she gets to pick her role in the main challenge, which is Morning Glory, a live morning TV show.
Sure.
I'm excited about this challenge. I think it would be really fun. I've always wanted to read off a teleprompter. And they like get different roles because they want to appeal to a wide variety of audiences.
The masses. Yes, right. I like stuff like this. I want to do something like that. I got bad vision. I got to make sure I have my glasses. Like, I can't see. But I do want to do like news anchor stuff. And I say bitch too much and I be cursing at people and talk about people too much to their face. So I'm scared they're going to kick me off the live, off the air.
Okay. Well, the thing I love about UK is that they can curse on here.
Like, y'all can curse because we're not paying y'all the money.
Right, right. So they throw all the fucks and bitches in there. So
Aaliyah.
But the party girls that are the hosts of the show are Taste and Bimini. The hippie weather report is Jenny. The dragony nieces is Lawrence and Ellie. And y'all. Then the Essex money savers are Ahura and Tia, which is drama waiting to happen.
All the drama. Because that's a combination to put together.
Okay, they already don't like each other, so I'm excited to see how this turns out. Then we have the goth party planners. Tia, nope. Sister of Veronica.
Oh, okay, damn, not Tia got double the workload, so let her breathe.
So then we have the goth party planners, Sister, and Veronica. There we go. Got
there
it.
There we right. Got woo! You got it out.
Okay, look, let me stop talking about teleprompters before I mess something up. So they're choosing their parts and Veronica's like really quiet and she's like, I'll just take what's left. And I'm like, girl, that's gotten so many people eliminated. Like
trying to be cute and friendly. And no, sis, I want this. Like, hate to take it back to the US, but Candy was like, this is my role, I'm taking it and I'm running
period
with it.
Period, mind.
Let me get on the show. That's the energy you're getting from me, sis, hands down. Yep. Like, this is mine and that's all. That's going, no. So, she's stupid for doing that, girl.
You only get one chance, you know? Like, don't let the other girls take a role that you think could be perfect for you. Like, I could have seen Veronica do probably one of the host roles.
Yeah.
I don't know. Her personality is so weird. I don't know what I could see her doing. I could see her doing like the Essex thing, but I just think the way it went with Tia and
Veronica could have did good at Tia and Ahura, but Veronica could have did that good at the weather.
I could have seen that too.
It could have been a very weird situation with the weather. I would have.
And I think Jenny would have done well with the goth. Like, Jenny could have probably turned that goth into something really, like, a moment, you know?
Stupid, yes. That would have been beautiful there.
But, alas, it went how it went, so.
It sure did, sir.
So, next we get to the walk room. Nope. Oh, my God. I can't talk today. The work room walk through.
That's what we were talking about. We were talking about that walk earlier. Now it's stuck in your head.
So Rue questions Veronica's strategy because she said, she tells Rue, like, first of all, I would have never told Rue that I waited to choose, you know, waited to see what I would get. Rue don't want to hear that, but
girl, you sound stupid.
Okay, but she says that she feels like she should be able to play anything, which is true. You should be able to play anything, but you also want to play to your strengths.
Your strengths, yeah.
So Rue's like, that's an interesting strategy.
I mean, because honestly, it is a very interesting strategy.
Right, but I think Rue was thinking, like, that's one way to do it, like, one way to lose.
Basically wanted to say, bitch, you stupid.
Right, exactly, which Rue sometimes actually will say that to a contestant, but she chose to play it safe and see how it went, because we don't really know what to get from Veronica. Like, I feel like she's kind of a dark horse, and she's always saying, don't underestimate me, but the only thing she has excelled at is the thing that she's good at, which is singing, so.
I thought about to say, I thought she only excelled at being underestimated.
Oop! Well, you're not wrong. So then Rue gets to Lawrence and Ellie Diamond, and this is a funny little moment because she talks to Lawrence. We know Rue loves Lawrence. Like, we know Lawrence is in the top three at this point. But but then she gets to Ellie, and Ellie's like, you always say Lawrence Chaney. Why don't you ever say Ellie Diamond? And Rue's just like, excuse me?
It's just like, girl, why are you questioning me? And like, no, it...
That classic RuPaul quote, you're going off script.
Very much.
Okay.
Like, bitch, you're questioning the wrong person.
Right. And she said, well, I'm working on my Ellie storyline, which I thought was like Ruby dropping hints. She's basically like, you don't have a storyline. you don't, we don't know what to think of you just yet. So if I had something to say funny with your name or something cute, I would probably say it. But she said, I'm working on my Ellie storyline. I came up with Shine Bright Like a Diamond.
like hello, are you in the same room as me?
And then she turns it right back around on her, which is why I think Rue is so smart, even though she's, you know, messed up in a lot of ways, but she's very smart. She said, are you worried about being outshined by Lawrence Chaney?
Girl, because that's what the real tea is.
Okay, that's what you need to be worried about instead of be worried about me.
Baby done told you, sis, are you stressed? Are you stressed a little bit?
Because you need to be.
Because you should be.
Rue just laying the groundwork for the producers, making their jobs easier to edit all of this together. and then we actually get to the challenge. So this is another one of those moments where our friend from the UK actually was so helpful to tell us a little bit more about Lorraine Kelly, who is like the Beyonce of morning TV. And I was in the viewing party like, so like Diane Sawyer?
We didn't know who. I was like, girl, I don't know who. What's her name?
Right, exactly. But she is who she is, and she's there to help them. She doesn't really help them that much, but she's there.
She was there watching. That girl was there. She was there laughing.
Right. I mean, she definitely. I mean, it was live, so it's not like they can do much to help them anyway. She did give them advice at the beginning that's like, no matter what goes wrong, just keep going, which kind of goes without saying, but I mean, I'll take it. I'll take it. So then we get into the Morning Glory show. So we got Bimini and Tace up first with the party girls with their rise and shine bitches. What did you think about them?
I thought it was cool. It was very, like when I watched it and saw the entire thing, I was like, okay, yeah, they're at the least they'll be safe. Because it was very consistent. It was consistent across, and it was cute how they were doing it. Good for the both of them.
Okay, I thought that they would be like high. Like I thought so highly of the fact that like opening the show live is a big responsibility, first of all. And then just seeing how they did stay in character the entire time. Like it was never a moment that Bimini wasn't making facial expressions and like that sort of thing. And they didn't have any single moment where they tripped up. So compared to the other girls, I thought it was great.
Yeah, in chronological order, how it came in though, I watched it and I was like, okay, as of now, they're in the safe spot. Like it was pretty good. Cause you know, they're not gonna get the worst one first. You know, we gotta work our way into the office.
Yes, speaking of, then we get to Veronica and Sister. They were goth, and what did you think?
It's a lovely day in California. the weather's about 77.
Gosh, I mean, I had hope for it because it's like, it's obviously one of those things where I feel like it's kind of set up to be not the easiest to achieve.
And see, that's how I was like, well, I mean, I'll just leave it at this. I bet you're going to pick what you want next time and not just accept what's last.
That's true, because that one I feel like took a little bit more experience to pull off, because it's morning TV. To be goth on morning TV, it just already doesn't...
It don't fit.
And right.
Now that you said it, Jenny Lemon would have been good.
Oh, yes. I think she would have freaking, like, sold it. But Veronica and Sister, it seemed like they were kind of relying on each other, waiting for each other to go and give something, and then it was just kind of like boring and it didn't go anywhere. So it was sad. It was very, very sad to see. It was a train wreck.
Also, if you watch with like, no matter how horrible they were, what they were doing, I was like, girl, what the hell is happening? And we were wrapping a bird in the cage. I was like, what is this? This is too much going on. It was stressful.
Right, which is like, you know, the directive, what they were given was to make an anti-birthday cake. So that was production that gave them that. So, but I mean, it could have been funny. It could have been very funny.
It could have.
So then we get to Lawrence and Ellie, which I thought was so cute how they like popped up from behind the hosts and like scared them. And just all of the physical humor that they did was just so funny. They got a call from Michelle Visage asking about resting bitch face. And
I like theirs. They were good.
Then freaking Ellie, like, puts face paint all over Lawrence's beautiful makeup, which was a gag.
It was given very much Lady Gaga.
Art pop?
Art pop tea. That's what I was like, girl, that's inspired by art pop. And I was typing all this in the comments when we were doing the viewing party, and then that's when I was like, girl, we can't see your comment. I was like, oh, I must be on the wrong thing.
Oh, yes, that panelist and attendees, it'll get you every time.
Every time. And I was talking so much trash in the beginning, and they were like, girl, we can't see nothing you say. I said, oh.
I'm so glad they caught it, because I didn't even catch it. And I guess they saw you typing and were like, well, what's she typing if we can't see it?
And we can't see it, yeah. But it was like, you could see it because I was sending it directly to you.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, Lawrence and Ellie, I think that Ellie should never pair with Lawrence again. Like, she should be in a team with Sister, or a team with, like, Veronica or Tia, somebody that she can out... Maybe not Tia. No, not Tia. Somebody that she can outshine.
Yeah, man. Maybe next time she will ask RuPaul, why you ain't saying my name a specific way, and this is the exact reason why, since we try to figure
okay, out. Because if you were shining bright like a diamond, maybe she would have said it.
Ms. Eliza Swarovski Crystal.
Elizabeth Plastic Rhinestone.
Elizabeth Beads.
So, yeah. But the funniest part for me was Lawrence riding off on this damn mini tricycle and saying, like, oop, I crushed it.
And I live. Lawrence is great. I'm gonna tell you, look, I've never dated a drag queen, but I date Lawrence just for the jokes. Lawrence can get it for the jokes.
So funny. I saw that she's doing, like, cameos, and, like, I've never wanted to get a cameo before, but she's just so funny and charming. I'm like, I would love to get a cameo from her.
I'm like, let me give it. I'm gonna say, Lawrence, be my baby daddy. You ain't got no, you can't, we on cameo, now you gotta answer the question.
I love it. So then we get to Ahura and Tina. Not Tina, Tia. I've messed up Tia's name every single time I've said it.
Lord. It is so simple, too.
Tia Coffee, the question remains.
The question remains.
So I was shocked that Ahura did better than Tia in this challenge.
I was gagged, too. That actually shook me, because I was not expecting that from Ahura, which is like egg on my face, sis. But she did the hell out of this. Like, they both were good. But Ahura, like, ate. Ahura ate.
Absolutely. And, I mean, she's just playing this, like, ditzy Essex girl. And the only reference I have for the Essex girl is from Cheryl Hole from the last season. Yeah. But I get the vibe. I get the vibe. And they're like...
They were giving me we're the cock destroyers.
Oh my God, they're like the cock destroyers, except they're the vajazzlers.
The vajazzler, yeah. I was like, this is cute.
So Veronica is shocked as well, like we were, about Ahura's ability, but part of me was like, well, isn't that the exact same thing you were mad at them for doing to you?
No comment.
Like, it's so funny how people will project, you know, onto other people and then be mad when somebody does it to them.
Someone told me, and I live by this quote, the distaste we see in others is a mere reflection of ourselves. And yes. Honey, that was plain and simple. So you can see it for yourself, but you can't see it for nobody else. You tried it, girl.
Absolutely. Then we get to Jenny in the weather segment. So the first time I watched this, I was thoroughly confused. I was just like, did they set her up? Was it just like supposed to be chaos? But then I actually understood what it was supposed to be, and she just didn't catch it, I guess.
Yeah. I thought it was funny as hell, but then I understand exactly what the heat behind it was. Like, I get it. I get it now. Where she could have went with it.
Right, so they basically say they have some unsuspected, like, weather coming, and yeah. She, like, then it starts happening. So basically, she needs to be, like, responding to what's happening as it's happening, but she just kind of, like, goes off the deep end, you know? Yeah. Whereas if she would have, like, because, okay, in improv, there's usually like a straight character and then there's like the wacky character. Yeah. So in this case, since she's by herself, since the surroundings are so wacky, I think she needed to play it more straight and literally try to give us the weather despite what's happening to you. Like, well, now it's raining cats and dogs and, you know, like, you know, that sort of thing. But
it's so much better if she would have went with the flow of everything.
Mm-hmm. But Lorraine Kelly ended up being like, we're live. Don't forget we're live. And it just was a mess.
It was a hot mess. And then she jumped out of frame.
Yeah, like, come on, sis. What are you doing? I don't know.
What are you doing?
But it's elimination day, and the girls are feeling it. Veronica felt like she let sister down, and sister agrees.
Sister agreed real hard, too. Like, she's like, yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Like,
uh-huh.
Absolutely.
And to that, Lauren says in the confessional, like, what is with sister and blaming other people for her problems? And we had just said that in the viewing party, so it was so funny.
It was perfect timing.
Right, because it just seems like there's always something else to blame. But we do see sister have a moment in like the when she's getting ready where she's like, I keep getting in my head and I'm not going all the way. And it's like, yeah, finally. Like, even though Veronica did do a poor job and was your partner, I don't give one flying fuck if my partner is not doing a great job. I am going to turn it back around, okay?
Right. Absolutely.
Like, there's something. Yes. Like, lift them up and help and give them a reason to rise to the occasion, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Ugh. But then we have a very sentimental moment with Uhura and Tia Coffee, where Uhura tells Tia about the horrible, horrible things that she said about her.
The awful things she said about him.
She's like, you were boring. I don't get it. Send her home already. Why is she here? And Tia took it so well.
The truth will set you free, honey. But that truth would have got me locked up.
I mean, I respect her for actually coming clean, because a lot of people would have, you know, waited until it aired and then sent a text message.
Very much that tea. Very much that tea. Yeah, but you're right.
She told her, she came clean, and I thought that was super big of her. And we get to see Uhura be like a human being instead of just a raging cunt the entire time.
Yeah, because up until this episode, I was just like, girl, like, cute or whatever, but your energy is not the ticket.
Right. That's the thing. And we get to like see behind the facade, because she takes off that orange ass makeup and
Bye.
And breaks down a little bit. It's a little tan for me, but whatever.
I'm not joking, bitch.
So she breaks down to the confessional and she says that she's putting on like this, you know, bitchy gay facade, and she pulls people down as a coping mechanism for being pulled down herself.
Right.
Which we've all seen. We all know those queens that are like the bitchy gays, right? I'm sure you know, in LA.
Please don't make me start listing names.
Because I heard LA is full of them, girl.
Please don't make me start listing names.
Don't do it to them. Don't do it to them.
Because I'm crazy, and I will.
This will live on the internet.
I should definitely start listing names now, honey. Thug Life, we ain't scared of nobody. But yes,
okay.
They here. But they definitely here.
So I definitely hear her. I just think that it's a shame to be like so affected by people tearing you down that you feel like you have to tear other people down. Like, that's
right.
That's not the way out, you know?
That's not the right option, yeah.
But she says she's her own worst enemy. She doesn't have like drag friends. She's never been able to like connect with them because they take one look at her and assume she's a bitch. But I'm like, you let them believe it.
They not lying.
You let them believe it.
They not lying.
So I don't know. It's okay, Miss Uhura. I do love that she has this humanizing moment, because it really does kind of like make us feel a little bit better about her.
It does.
And then Tia's like, are we best friends yet? And Uhura's like, we're working on it.
We ain't there, sis. But okay. We don't play.
We'll see. But maybe this will play a little bit in the future. Maybe Uhura will help Tia with her basic fashions. I don't know.
Or maybe they'll be in the bottom together and have a lip sync.
Oh, God. They probably do that Anyway, so yeah, next up we have the runway, but we're going to get into that right after this break. And we're back. So it's time for the runway. Are you ready to toot and boot some looks?
Let's do it. I'm excited for this.
All right, let's start with RuPaul. On the runway, it's RuPaul in this teal, asymmetrical
shoulder.
I love it.
It's an extreme boot for me. I mean, not boot. It's a scream toot for me.
Oh, I was about to say what?
I was thinking in the future of that green outfit that we're gonna see later. But this is a toot for me. You know, I was thinking, and it's like I ain't gonna talk long. So, back to the U.S. Do you remember Chi Chi that did the group Circle La Square?
Triangle girls of the world.
Maybe if they would have had all shoulder pads like this, a round one, a triangle one, and a square like this. This would have been sick. Oh
my gosh, what a concept. Yes.
But yeah, it's a toot for me. Loving the hair.
It's a toot. Yes, somebody posted online and they were talking about how Rue talks about like proportionizing, right? And this is what she means. Like you wear big hair and big shoulders and it makes your waist look small.
Makes you look smaller.
And it makes you look more petite or whatever, if that's what you're going for. So good for her. She so anyway. Cool. I just like whenever she shows her legs instead of wearing like a gown. It's
yeah, I love it.
But the runway challenge this week is the Monster Mashup, which is super fun. I wish I could do this fucking runway challenge because I love when Drag Race hops right on over to Dragula.
Yeah. Very much.
And they have to do two monsters in one. And some of the queens nailed it, but some of the queens did not. Starting with Veronica Green. What did you think about Miss Veronica's Medusa Pig?
I gave it a toot.
Okay. I give it a toot because it looks good, but as far as like meeting the challenge, I don't really think that a pig is a monster.
Unless she was going for the Hannibal Lecter tease where the pigs like eating faces and stuff.
Yeah, and then I mean, also, pigs do eat humans.
Also the pig monster from American Horror Story.
Yeah, but I don't think she was pulling that reference, do you think?
I mean, that's what I would have lied to say if I was failing.
Right, that's fair. But, you know, it's a great look. Well constructed.
Great look. Well constructed.
Not so great. We got Sister and her were-mummy.
Baby, they call her Sonic the Hedgehog and I almost pissed my clothes laughing.
Okay, look. Okay, so let's just head to toe this. What is this little ponytail? This little piece of, this weft of hair?
Synthetic piece from the hair store, the braid hair. She just glued that pack in there. But you could at least gave it some volume, girl.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like one little piece of hair and it's like a bang piece has more hair.
And with them clip-on bangs got more pieces than that.
Anyway, but it's a mummy costume, which is very like overdone.
Yeah.
She's got blue fur sticking out of it with the tail. It was cute, but it wasn't groundbreaking.
Yeah, it wasn't groundbreaking at all.
And we need to see your face. This is a lip sync.
At least. But like, it was just overdone.
Yeah. Bimini comes out as a Playboy Bunny devil. Like, Playboy Bunny doesn't give me monster. Whatsoever. But
I get the devil. Yeah. I love the look. I love it. It's a cat. You know what she looked like in the forehead? The Chicago Bulls mascot.
Oh, she does.
She looks just like the Chicago Bulls.
Oh my God. I love this so much more on Instagram than I do here because like the prosthetic looks better applied. She probably had more time to do it.
On the internet. Yeah.
Then we have Taste coming out in her Bride of Frankenstein, Bride of Vampenstein. Because she's
I like that.
It's Vampenstein. Gorgeous. I mean, what else should we expect from Taste?
She can't do no wrong. Like, it's an absolute toot for me.
The only thing would be maybe the undergarments, because when she spins, it's like black underneath there, but I still love it.
Yeah. I wonder if that goes with the vampire-esque girl.
Maybe. What are you groaning at?
Next look coming up.
Is it Jenny Lemon?
It's Jenny Lemon, honey. Jenny Lime in this case.
Okay, she says she's giving you toxic bitter lemon. And like, Okay, so what are the two monsters here? The wig and the outfit.
Because, honey, just like that challenge, it was miss.
Yeah, it was really bad. I just don't understand how it was monster. Like, even the radioact, I don't get it. Anyway, then we have the shoot of the week. It's Lawrence Chaney in this Sweeney Todd, Bride of Frankenstein, Leatherface, Silence of the Lambs orgy.
I'm just trying to shoot my shot. Because I want to get in this bitch's closet. I'm about to shoot my shot. Okay. Give me my type. I usually like mine fresh out of prison, but from this closet,
not honey, out of prison.
Oh, I love me some prison trade. I want that look. It's a toot for me.
I mean, it's just so well done and so intricate. And usually when you say you have four different references in one, it's going to be a hodgepodge mess. But yeah, she pulled it together so cleanly. It's gorgeous. It's brilliant. Like, the top layer is made out of like what looks like skin. That's amazing, first of all, because like to do that with fabric, it's just brilliant. Then yeah, she's got the shirt with the blood splatter that's rhinestoned, mind you.
Yeah.
She's got the Bride of Frankenstein wig pulled up into a little pinup do, eyeballs as earrings, the red tights. She's got her face. It's a cast of her face with her makeup on, yeah, it, on her wrist as a fucking handbag, like sickening.
This is beautiful. This is so well done.
Just gorgeous. I just have no, I like, ugh.
And that's what RuPaul like.
Crown it. So crown anyway, it. The other side of Scotland, Ellie Diamond's Goblin Wolf. Mm-hmm. I like the green parts. I don't like the brown parts.
I hate it.
I feel like if she would have mixed this with a different thing other than werewolf, it would have, yeah, been cute. Like goblin, witch.
Or even if it was like, I would have kept the chaps, because that chaps part could be cute and flowy. I would have kept the top part would have just been that green outfit, and I would have just put some fur on the chest.
Right, like what if she did, like, since it's a mashup, what if she would have done, like, you know, like a centaur and done like the top half goblin, the bottom half werewolf, and just wore, yeah, like
that would have been sickening.
Yeah, fur pants, you know, like that. Or she could have done, and then it probably would have read as centaur, so she could have done goblin centaur or something like that, and done like the hoof heels.
The outfit makes me want to dry my feet when I'm out the shower. It's very much...
It's very that.
I just want to rub my wet feet against it. Rub.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. It was a mess. But the wig is cute. So anyway.
Right, that's cute.
Then we have Tia Coffey with her Medusa skeleton voodoo princess. And I am triggered with all this voodoo representation on Drag Race because I'm, yeah, not there yet, okay?
Yeah, right. Like, let me get my...
And then every time they do it, it's just like, ugh, wrong. Like, when they did Miss Cleo, I was like, ugh, wrong. Like, La La Ree's Bag of Bones, ugh, wrong.
Wrong. It's like, there's a certain way to go about it. And it's crazy because I do Big Frida impersonations in LA, and I call Espy.
Yes.
And I said, Espy, I need the whole rundown. I need to know what this is. I need to know what this place is. And she'll give me the history on this. Don't say this, blah, blah, blah. Because it's like, girl, study your parts. And
yes.
And I'm like, if I'm going to be out here playing Big Frida in these streets, I need to know what the real tea is. So you can't be walking up on here giving culture of somebody's like area and not knowing what the fuck you're doing.
Right. But I mean, this is, quite frankly, the best that Tia has looked.
Yeah.
I think because it's not basic. I'll give her that.
Yeah, it's not basic. We'll see how it looks after this break they're going to have.
Okay, let's pray. Then we have Ahura, who says she's giving us Elvira in Vegas, but also zombie? Like, what?
She looked like Crystal Method mixed with Adore Delano.
Oh my God. She had a tweet where she said, call me Adore Delano one more time and get blocked.
Oh, shit, for real?
Yes, because they people have been comparing her to Adore Delano. And Adore was like, what a compliment. I'm funny and talented and beautiful and iconic. Like,
plain and fucking simple, bitch. Like, I'm sorry, let me start. Yes, very much that.
Right, but I think that somebody else responded and was like, ooh, blah, 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 drama or whatever. And Adore was like, no, I'm just, you know, like joking. Like, I'm taking the piss. Like, it's
girl, calm down. Yeah.
Right, but I think the queens are just tired of being compared to other Drag Race queens. And I am here for that.
Yeah, I'm here for it too.
Because the second I get on that damn show and they start comparing me to Monique Hart, I'm going to have some feelings.
And they tried, I'm every fat black bitch that ever walked in the room.
Lord, they're going to compare you to Silky so fast.
Oh.
So fast.
They know me and Silky already hang out with each other, so they'll definitely give me Silky. Call me in the battle, but Mystique, we good.
Oh, Mystique Summers Madison.
Summers Madison, honey.
I forgot about her. That's so funny.
I love Mystique. She's a key. She's cute now, girl.
Yes. Honey.
But we're not going to talk about that lampshade outfit she wore that one time.
No, no. We're going to leave that in the past where it belongs.
Where it belongs.
Next, we get to the results, and she calls forward Veronica, Sister, Bimini, Jenny, Lawrence, and Ahura. And I thought, ooh, this must be the tops and the bottoms.
Got to be.
Which they are, and they are, asked to stay on stage, and Tace, Ellie, and Tia are safe.
Which is good.
I think Tace deserved to be at least safe, at least.
Yeah.
Ellie should be fucking counting her lucky stars.
Very much.
She wasn't the worst in the challenge, but it's just that outfit and everything. I just was like, ugh. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think she has much more time left in the show.
Well, this is also true.
We'll see what she brings after the break.
Yeah, because honey, if you don't change your stuff after this break, then girl, something wrong with you. You got to pass, girl. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. But then we get to the winner of the challenge, who is Lawrence Cheney.
Yes.
The judges had a lot to say. They told Veronica to keep up the looks. This look is good. This is excellent. We need to see that all the time. But they hated the challenge. Not surprising.
Yeah.
For Sister, they said it's not her best week. And it wasn't.
And it definitely wasn't.
I haven't really seen anything super exciting from Sister, though. It's really sad. But then we get to Bimini. They loved the challenge. They said she didn't come out of character. And they loved her devil look, but her hair was a little bit of a mess. I didn't notice that until they said it.
I saw that wig, and I was just like, sis, that thing needs some of that Remy detangling spray.
Yeah. But like, I think she was going for, like, the messy look, right?
Well, make it cute messy. Don't just make it... This that wig that you find at the bottom of the closet. Oh, my God, this has been missing for 2 years. Where you been?
Yep, I have that same bin. Yep, I have so much hair in that closet over there that I need to detangle and style.
And this one said, let me put this in my bag.
Because, see, for a while, I would be like, okay, this wig has seen better days. Let's go to the beauty supply. Like, I'll just get a new one.
I'll just buy a new one. And I'll throw those at the bottom of the bin, honey.
Yep. And I mean, it was because when I first started, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to style the hair. But now I know. I just don't have the time or energy because of quarantine. And I got a million and one things to do. So anyway.
Right.
Next, we get to Jenny. They said that the improv was good, but it kind of stalled a bit. It didn't go anywhere. And also, they didn't get the weather. So.
Yeah.
And Jenny lets them know that she has fibromyalgia?
She does, because the girl was like, girl, why you not wearing no heels? And she was like, I can't specifically wear heels because of my condition. It's funny, in the US, we got somebody to go home from who has a condition as well as in the UK this week. He was like, well, sis, you could have put on some cuter shoes.
Okay, look, we'll find a cuter chunky heel.
Right. A cuter croc to wear.
Okay, exactly. They loved Lawrence. She wins. And then Ahura, they said she hit every beat, but as far as the looks, don't be afraid to be ugly and give them vulnerability. I'm like, y'all ain't gonna get me.
Yeah, hell no, honey. I'm hard as a brick wall. Nope.
No, ma'am.
I will be ugly at home.
In the comfort of my own home. Honey.
Okay.
Not ugly on no camera.
Thank you. Like, I know y'all want vulnerability, but I'll cry before I let y'all see me be ugly.
And that's a period.
I feel like they be setting the girls up sometimes because somebody's got to go home.
Somebody got to go.
So then we get into this little untucked moment, which I love because I maintain, I've said it on this podcast before and I'll say it again, damn it. I think that Untucked should be a part of the show. They can make the whole show an hour and a half if they want to, but Untucked don't need to be 30 minutes every week. Give us more of the workroom. Give us more of the drama, but I don't need Untucked all the time. So I love that it's included in UK. The safe girls are feeling good to be safe, which they should. Have you noticed that difference in the US?
What do you mean?
Okay, in the UK, they're like, oh, I'm so relieved. I'm so glad. And in the US, like, they are visibly upset to be safe.
Yes, that's a thing. For me, let me tell you something. If I don't feel like I did my best on this one, and I don't feel like my roommate's been, how do you call me safe? Baby, I'm a tip. But also, the judges tell the US girls all the time, safe is not like a place. And then also, look at these outfits. If half these girls were in the U.S. and they were wearing the stuff, they get red down.
Of course. It's totally different. But I'm saying, like, Cameron Michaels made it to the end of the competition by being safe. She Absolutely. Was in that finale being safe.
And that's all Cameron wanted was to be in that finale. So, girl, I get you.
And but quiet as kept, Sasha Velour won the season being safe. She won a few times with Shay. But
yeah.
She won the whole season because of that final lip sync. And
it was that last lip sync.
And I think it was, you know, deserved. And I don't think that there was anything wrong with her being safe.
It was epic. It was an epic win.
Absolutely.
Epic lip sync. Yeah.
So anyway, I wouldn't be mad at being safe. It's another week on television. So holla fucking Lou.
Hello. Check.
Exactly. So then we get Jenny being emotional because... She's just like, there's some good stuff. I don't know. This is just a rough week for her. I think she's coming apart.
At the beginning, and I think that's why they showed her being rude to Lawrence. And it was gaggy that Lawrence won and she's in the bottom after her telling, you know, it was like, it's very much like storyline written out for itself. Just like old girl, Miss Diamond, when she would tell him, RuPaul, girl, why you don't say my name like this? Are you afraid of being overshadowed? Then she comes out, and then she goes out in her runway right after Lawrence's runway, and then they're out here getting this critique. It's just like, no, girl, they know what they're doing. The story.
They know what the fuck they're doing, and they're making a damn good show.
A phenomenal fucking show, absolutely.
So they ask who they think is going home, and like all the girls say Veronica, and then when the girls get in the room, they're asking who they think goes, like, Sister's like, well, who do y'all think is going home? And they're like, well, we all said Veronica. And Tia's like, well, that's not true, but it had already been said at that point.
It had already been said, sis.
Veronica gets pissed. She gets so pissed. She's like, y'all already underestimated me once. Don't make the same mistake again.
Don't do it again. It's just like,
girl,
how many times are gonna use that line?
My thing is like, it's a competition. If y'all want to underestimate me, great. The judges see me. That's all that matters. Okay.
Honestly, that's literally all that matters.
I can't wait to get on Drag Race and say, well, it's a good thing you're not a judge, isn't it? Like, that's going to be my favorite thing to say.
My favorite, girl. Oh, I'm glad you up there on that panel.
Okay. But you're not, are you? Oh, exactly.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So then Ahura is like trying to like help Veronica. She's like, just fuck everything you know and just do the lip sync and blah, blah. And she's like, I'll stick to what I know, thank you. And it's like, okay. Ahura's like, okay, be rude then.
good for you, sis. Just be rude. Mind you, she always rude, but yeah, be rude, sis.
Like, right, exactly. But it's just like, the 1 second Ahura's trying to be nice to somebody, y'all gotta clap back.
Y'all gonna clap back at her like sis ain't trying to, she's trying to be sweet.
So after this little untucked moment, the girls are called back out onto the runway And Jenny and Sister are in the bottom.
Yes.
So I knew the tea because of, like, you know, the rumors and speculation part of this podcast. I expected it to be more explosive than it was. But
I wanted to edit it out. You think they edited it out, or it just wasn't that? It wasn't given.
I think they edited some of it out. So what happens is the lip sync starts and they go to a confessional of Jenny saying that she's about to fuck shit up. She's about to be punk rock. And she just basically walks off the stage as the music starts. Like, she's like, bye. I'm not going to do it.
And it happened.
Yeah. And what the tea is that if you look closely, they say that, like, they edited her flipping the judges off out.
Really?
I want to look at it. We have the episode up here and I want to see if you can see it. But, you know, from what we heard of the tea and speculation, it was supposed to be
a curse out,
like swearing at the judges.
Did she do it in the beginning of the lip sync?
I don't know. But the reaction from the judges is very like, okay, girl, go off. I mean, like, Michelle's kind of like, what?
Yeah. It very, RuPaul didn't give a damn.
Yeah. RuPaul was just like, shrug. Oh, well. Okay, so she's walking off. RuPaul's looking. It seemed like she did, like, a hand. It didn't look like her flipping
looking off. Yeah.
Unless they didn't show it, like, when she was walking at first. Because they did cut back to, like, Ru. So I guess we'll never know.
Oh, she gonna tell it all, girl. You know she is.
I mean, I feel like Ahura or somebody else on the season would probably tell it all.
Somebody will give us the tea, yeah. They got to. That's gonna be a good interview.
I do like that she, you know, was true to herself and she said, I'm not feeling it, you know?
This ain't for me. Because she blew him a kiss.
Yeah, she blew him a kiss. I don't see her, like, flipping him off or, like, saying, like, fuck you guys.
She looked like Jinx Monsoon mixed with Sharon Needles.
Yeah. I see it, honestly. But let's talk about Sister Sister. Still giving it 100% and, like, having the whole stage to herself, because this is a fantasy.
I wasn't yet. That's a full fantasy, honey. This is my show. I wasn't mad, though. She did pretty good.
She did a great job, honestly. You know, part of me would be like, okay, I don't have to, like, go as hard. But at the same time, I would be living at the opportunity to just, like, show the fuck out on the stage
by myself. A solo, sis? You give me a solo on RuPaul's Drag Race? I'm about to eat this shit up.
I'd be cartwheeling and flipping all over that stage.
I would have ate this whole thing up, honey, because, no, she's smart for this one.
Okay. So, I mean, at the end of the day, she probably didn't want it to be a double elimination, so.
Right. Because it definitely could have been that, too.
Could you imagine if your competitor left the stage and they were still like, Sister, Sister.
Sashay away.
Sashay away. Bitch, I'll be so gagged.
That would have been a full-on gag. I would have kiki'd at that.
But at the end of the day, Jenny Lemon is eliminated. Episode 4. Sad but true.
True.
I mean, she wasn't really given what she had, what she was supposed to have gave based on, like, the hype and like, you know, I thought we were going to get so much more from her, but
I was so excited for her. I was so excited.
It turned out to not be all that. I'd rather Lawrence, unfortunately.
Yeah, in this case.
So, yeah. Then we get to the tea and speculation. Let's talk about next week's challenge, which is actually going to be a song contest.
Okay, see, then...
Veronica.
Who's the singer?
Veronica's the singer, but, like, in the UK, all of the girls are singers.
Okay.
Pretty much. Like, we know that Tia was really excited to do the big role in Rats the Rusical.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So.
I wonder what they're singing. Do you think it's, like, a rhythm song or, like, how they do with RuPaul and the
remix? The T says that it's a girl group challenge, so it's probably going to be, like, what we were talking about with the Triangle Girls of the World. It's probably going to be that sort of thing. So I can see that. That should be very interesting. I just want to say for the people listening, here's where we get deep into the spoilers and speculation. I don't want to hear any complaints. I warned you. You can turn the episode off now if you don't want to hear it. All right.
About to talk some shit.
So, anyway, we know that the queens leave for COVID after this. They had a little moment at the end, a preview for next week, where they talk about how they have to shut down production because of COVID. And we know that the girls get a few weeks off.
Our freedom.
Yes. But we also know that one of the queens does not return.
Yes.
And it is Miss Veronica.
Yeah, I heard it's Miss Veronica. I guess she underestimated COVID.
Right. Right when there's a singing challenge where she would have probably excelled.
She probably would excel like hell and had to get started, which is sad. Like, knock on wood. Like, I feel bad for her for catching COVID. Like, hope she's well. I'm pretty sure she's well now because I haven't heard anything bad. But, like, I'm glad she's gotten past everything. But, like, girl, y'all had some weeks off, honey. I wouldn't have seen nobody. You can talk about quarantine. I would have been. Y'all would have known nothing from me, honey, because y'all know I messed up my opportunity.
Okay. I mean, exactly. There's ways to do it. Like, I'm guessing that she probably, like, was trying to up her game. I can only imagine, like, what I would have been trying to do is, like, work with designers and, like, come back to the competition better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would have said, okay, you drop the costume outside.
Yeah, very much.
I'm going to, you know, Lysol it down. I'm going to send you pictures. I'm going to take notes of where it needs to be taken in, but you're not going to see me.
Nah, because that's a big opportunity you're trying to mess up for me, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So sad to see her go, but we do hear that someone gets to return to the competition because she left, and that's exciting.
Miss Black, honey.
Yes, so Joe Black was definitely criminally eliminated, in my opinion, because they are such a legend in the UK scene, which I did not know, but now I do.
The girls were not having it either.
I want to see, like, more from her, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But I hear that she doesn't do too well on returning.
They say sis go home right away, which happens a lot. It's like the curse of the bring back. So if that is the case, girl, then...
There's only been, like, what is it, one time that a queen has come back and not gone home immediately? And then she went home the next week?
Yeah, wasn't that Nayshia Lopez? No.
I think so.
I think it was Nayshia. Yeah, Nayshia.
Like, she lasted one extra week, but still went home. And I mean, it makes sense. Like, you got eliminated.
No shame.
For a reason.
Yeah, like we didn't make no mistake.
Sad, 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 but true. Do you know any other tea or speculations?
No, those are the only ones I know. I know just about the COVID, who's getting brought back, who's getting sent home. My tea always flies from the U.S. Version of the show. U.K., I don't know that many people.
Well, what you know about the U.S.? Tell us something.
Mm. Well, word on the curb and on the street. Top four. It's supposed to be Simone Rose, Mick, and it's rumored to be Candy. But these are things that I've heard in the streets. I would like that top four. I wouldn't mind it whatsoever, even though I'm obsessed with Utica.
Same. Yeah,
that's what the top four is. So now I'm interested to see who sends Denali home and who sends Olivia home and how that plays out.
Well, I could see Denali going home because of the fact that, like, she's lip synced so many times. You only get so many chances, you know, that's even if you're an amazing lip syncer.
Yeah. Like,
and I feel like all they have to do is throw a ballad at her, and I don't think Denali would fare well.
And we haven't gotten a ballad yet either.
Right.
We haven't gotten a ballad in the U.S. yet.
I would love a ballad. We love a good old ballad.
And baby, now I need to find out who sends her home.
Right. I don't know that tea, but I am interested.
I'm going to find it out, and then I send it to you for your next week.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Look you up the tea.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to see how this turns out. I'm excited to see the rest of the season. UK is definitely showing why they are not to be messed with.
This is a good report. UK is like, they're 10. It's very entertaining. They're all messy, and that's the part I like. And I miss the shadiness of drag, and that's what the girls are bringing, and I'm here for all of it.
Absolutely. I'm here for it. I really love the UK. I would love to go up there and play for a little bit.
To the future queens of Drag Race, please stop walking up now. We've seen it. It ain't as effective no more.
Oh, I know. I was thinking that too. I was just like, okay, what are they going to put a little gate at the back of the runway? Like, you cannot leave.
You cannot leave no more. It ain't as effective. They're probably going to make them sign a contract. It's like, girl, you... blah, 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 you know, like, they're going to do something. But, girl, you can't, just walking off stuff, it's after Ben De La Creme did it with all the wins, since nobody else cares about nobody else walking
yeah,
off.
I was just about to say, like, Ben did it, Jenny did it, but, like, I don't think they're, like, if you do it after this, it has to be creative. I don't think there's a creative way to do it after
and shit that's for, and shit that's for you to do now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, I mean, I don't know. I just couldn't put myself in the mindset of not wanting to lip sync. I don't care who I'm up against. I don't care. I could be lip syncing against my mama, and
she going home. Oh, girl, if I don't know these words, not now, you might get a Valentina moment from me.
Oh, you about to get a watermelon applesauce? Okay,
all of that, very much. Because, honey, no, absolutely not.
And it will be sickening and glorious.
It's gonna be the best watermelon you ever seen in your life.
Okay, oh goodness. But that brings us to the end of our episode. So let's get into a drag story time. We can call this drag queen story time, play on that.
Let's do it.
So tell me, what are your stories? You say you got so much tea about the Rue Girls.
Oh, was it
smack a bitch?
I could tell you this one because I don't care if she don't like her. Miss LaQueer.
Oh Lord.
I did a show with Madame LaQueer Child, and I tell the story to the day I die, and I don't mind it being on the internet. Madame LaQueer asked, I was doing a show with my drag sister Kyra in Palm Springs, and Madame LaQueer was looking at us like we was about to take her motherfucking bucket of money. And I'm like, sister, nobody wants your coins. And like, your bucket is just half as empty as mine. So don't even play in my face. Like, girl, when I go to shows, I make coins. So then she had this little crusty wig sitting up on the thing in the vanity in front of us. She's like, oh, grab my wig. I don't want it to be mixed in with anybody else's. We not taking that crunchy ass wig. So she pissed me off with that. She tried to act like we were going to take her tips. I was like, girl, we don't want your tips. I will actually let you borrow some of these dollars because it ain't much in your bucket. But it was just very mad disrespectful. Like, girl, we ain't got to steal from you. And we are here in broad daylight in front of all these people. So she don't sit well with me. I don't like her.
Oh, so it was basically the beauty supply treatment where they follow you around. It was very much
like follow me around while I go in here and get this magic.
We always know where that comes from.
Because, like, no, I was irritated. Like, I'm gonna be quiet. Other than that, like, even her assistant was like, oh no, they're fine. Everybody knew it was fine, girl. But the last place you're gonna think somebody gonna steal something from you is the house of Jate. So we're not taking nothing from you, and your little bucket is empty over there. So focus on these numbers that you're doing and not what we got going on over here, especially with the crunchy ass wigs you had. So I don't like her. She's not my cup of tea.
That's a concern, though. You know, I be like putting my tips in my suitcase and zipping it up while I'm performing, but I'm always like, if they want it, they're gonna get it.
But it's like, it was like, oh, is that my bucket? Is that my, you know which one is yours, girl. Like, stop trying to play. It was just the fact of you sitting here trying to play us. Why everybody in this room know who we are, girl. We not just no random locals. Like, okay. The girls know exactly who we are. So I don't like her. Oh my God, I don't like that woman.
I think when I hear Madame LaQueer is, ew.
my sentiments exactly were her.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast, for doing the viewing party. I am so excited to be able to work with you. That's like the one great thing about quarantine and digital drag is that I get to make connections across the country.
All around the world. No, I really appreciate it. I had so much fun. It makes me want to like watch them more and talk trash about more television stuff, because this was it. This was a lot of fun and good to hear other perspectives. And I like the audience that you have in there too. They're really sweet. They're fun people. I like them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you aren't a part of the viewing party, you need to get with the program, Henny. We do it every Thursday and Friday. We would love to have you.
It's a lot of fun. So yes, jump in. Please go there, listen. And you actually have a lot of fun. Instead of getting regular random commercial breaks, you get drag performances. And it's just like, and opinions, because you want to talk to your homegirl about the show, but you can't because of quarantine. So now you got a whole computer full of homegirls to do it with. It's exactly. Very fun.
And it's drag queens, so we have, you know, a little bit of inside experience.
You're getting tea too, girl. You get
exactly, a lot. Exactly. So I yes, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much, and I respect you so much, and I look forward to seeing you on the race one day, girl.
Let's walk in the room together. How about that?
Yes, it'll be a good fucking time.
And then you'll actually do the voodoo stuff correctly.
Period. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. So anyway, thank you so much. That's all for today's episode, and I will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. All right, that's all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to do it again next week. Anchor allows you to send in voice messages, so check out the link in the episode notes if you have any questions or comments for the show, and we just might respond to them on air. Until next time, keep it cute, keep it real, and don't let anyone steal your joy. I'm Laveau Contraire, and this has been Local Drag.